You know, we've heard a lot about jobs. I mean, obviously, we keep up with the unemployment rate, jobless rate, and all that stuff when it comes out every month. But really, the whole nature of jobs, I think, has changed post-COVID. It's harder. It seems like it's harder for people to be happy. Now they're dragging them back to work 5 days a week, or they don't want to go to work 5 days a week, or a lot of people just don't want to do jobs, or there's a lot of stress. Take, for example, the medical care industry. Tremendous amount of stress there. One person who helps a lot with that is Alex Jesbury, who's co-founder of a company called Prax Leadership, based in Fort Worth, and they work, well, in essence, to make people happy. Is that a fair assessment?
I love that description. It is, we call it well-being, but I love the characterization of, in the simplicity of just wanting to bring happiness back to people. Yeah.
Happiness and work. I mean, can those two terms come together? I mean, there is that line somebody said, you know, why do they call it work?
Oh, I mean, I think absolutely. I mean, of course, I was raised to not put your job on like a pair of pants, to basically figure out who you are so that you, you wind up doing who you are, not just something that you do. And I think that there's a tremendous chance for success if you just are, you get to do you as opposed to it being work per se.
But it's so hard. I mean, think about the people that you work with in the medical profession. The employers have a heck of a time finding people. I remember, and I can remember when Presbyterian Hospital bought an apartment house across the street from the hospital to house nurses that they brought in for the UK. Or I know West little towns in West Texas that will recruit doctors from India and pay all their expenses to come over and work there. And that's got to be a challenging environment.
Yeah, I mean, the locums thing, I mean, we lived through that in a former life and a former profession, where I saw firsthand some of those challenges that you're talking about. I don't know what it is. I think there's a paradox there with healthcare in particular as it overlays with happiness, because if you think about the nature of somebody who gets into healthcare, they tend to be more missional than somebody who wants to be an accountant. And I'm not, you know, nothing against being an accountant, but you there are all sorts of reasons. When you get into healthcare, you are getting into it on some level, that's been my experience, because you believe in helping people and you think that's going to bring a lot of happiness. I think what happens, because you have a disproportionate number of people who are unhappy in healthcare, is that they find out that there's a lot more to healthcare than fixing people. They have to, I mean, I can speak for physicians. They have to be a part-time lawyer. They have to be a part-time administrator. They have to be a part-time accountant. There are so many things, a politician at times. So there are a lot of things that people do in and around healthcare that is thankless and is underappreciated. And I think it really harms and flies in the face of why they got into it to begin
with. Yeah, but I mean, it seems to me like there's got to be a lot of universality here, you know, with, you know, working with people in the healthcare industry or other industries. What's the common thread? How can you get people at ease in working and happiness in their jobs and consequently, I guess, more productive?
And I'm not trying to be glib here, but I genuinely feel it is as simple as starting with helping an individual understand themselves. And I know that I'm not trying to give you a line or anything like that. It's just, it's sort of my orientation to this world and something I really do believe in, is that if you do not know yourself, you're really not going, that's the beginning stage of all happiness. And I think a lot of times people do exactly the opposite of what my dad told me to do, which is to not put your job on like a pair of pants. And I think there are a lot of people out in the world that are waking up and going to work, and they are leaving themselves. And I think as an employer, what you want to do is figure out who you have, not what you have, but who you have, and put them in the right place where they can be the most them. Obviously, and it doesn't always work the way that people think it does, which is that a resume is who somebody is. A resume is what they're capable of doing, or at least what they say they're capable of doing. Putting the magic when you have a company, especially, you know, in any company, is identifying the human in that role and putting them in a place where they can achieve mastery and purpose for themselves, and that brings about a lot of happiness.
Yeah, and a comfort level. I mean. Everybody always talks about leadership and teaching leadership and how to be a leader. But there's got to be some merit in being a happy follower.
Wow. I love that. So one of the three main distinctions of our company in Praxis is that everybody is sort of focused on leadership. We're not. We're focused on self-leadership. And also, I think that's a really interesting point about the follower is that you have to have people. I don't necessarily think you are a follower. I think you're still a leader of yourself, but there are people that appear to be following, but in fact, they're just most comfortable in a different lane. And I think one of the things I've always told my kids is to figure out what that lane is that you can drive your car in that has the least amount of traffic in it. Where do you feel the most you? And so, yeah, I'm sure the world sort of categorizes people as that's a leader and that's a follower. And we tend to laud people that are more leaders and celebrate them. But there's an awful lot of, I mean, this world was built by a bunch of followers too.
Who can be very, very happy, I would think. Tell me about that industry though. I mean, it seems to me, I talked about the challenges in the healthcare industry. Everybody wants to do good, and it's a difficult thing, whether it's nursing or a doctor or a specialty, or whatever. A lot of school, a lot of hard work. But then it's just a lot of heartache from what I hear. The insurance companies and the overhead and the malpractice suits and everything else makes it just a tough industry to be in.
Yeah, it does. I remember, this is interesting, 1987, we were pumping gas, and I asked my dad, hey, if you had to do it all over again, would you?
And he was a doctor.
He was a doctor. Yeah, for 45 years. And I said, the gas station's right down the street. And I think of this all the time. And I said, would you do it again? And he said, no. And I said, I remember asking him why. And he said, because it's not why. Yeah, it's not all the things that I thought I was going to medical school for. Because, and it's like what I said to you earlier, help shape how I view this is that. They do get into it for a certain reason, and then they find out that there are just so many other aspects that, let's just say, to extend the metaphor, that it's not their lane. They never intended to be a part-time legal or a lawyer, you know, in terms of the medical malpractice. The other thing about medicine is that, you know, these people are genuinely, I use the word missional, most of them are getting into it genuinely to help people. And sometimes the system itself makes it really hard for them to achieve that. And it's one of the weird things that it's a business, right? But it's also not a business because you're dealing with people and you don't price things the way the regular market prices things. But yet you have insurance companies that definitely are a business that are sort of pushing the other way. So it's a very paradoxical industry in general, to find your place.
It's also dynamic. I mean, obviously, a lot of breakthroughs in medicine, and I mean, tremendous breakthroughs. It's a great time to be alive and to continue to live. But also, it sounds like there's a lot of breakthroughs in technology and things like that. You and your brother founded a company that is Scribe. I guess it takes notes and it helps transcribe all of the copious notes and everything else that are required working with a doctor. I mean, that's got to be an enormous time saver.
That was an amazing time. So, as in a former life, my wife and I are both recovering attorneys, and the way I would describe it to people is that a scribe is a stenographer, essentially. But outside of a courtroom, they're writing down in real time for the physician, typically in a high stress environment like the emergency room, what the patient has to say. And so, for years, decades and decades, you had a physician walk into a room with a clipboard and a pen. His or her head would be down, wouldn't be making eye contact with the patient, and ask him a bunch of questions and chicken scratch it down and later turn that chart into a dollar through the insurance company. But the relationship was very subpar. Then you had the advent of the electronic medical record, and you had all these doctors that had never been on a computer. What was interesting, though, is that the exact same time you had all of these college kids that wanted to become doctors that had been on computers since they were fetus. And so we went to pre-med programs and hired these kids that wanted to become doctors and put them, train them as scribes through what we had is called Scribe U. We brought them in from all over the country, trained them on the electronic medical record and sent them back to their hospital around the country to, and the scribe industry was interesting because it really did change healthcare in the sense that it was like this win-win-win. The patient satisfaction went up, the weighting went down. From a medical legal standpoint, you had a much clearer, more accurate chart. And the physician satisfaction went through the roof. Pay went up because a lot of times in the emergency room, it is one of those things where you get paid fee for service. So it's just a great time in healthcare, and it's still going strong. I think probably AI will take the next step in that and maybe supplant some of those things, which is kind of a shame because we were really able to help a lot of pre-med students decide that they really wanted to be doctors. And what I also count as a success are those that were scribes and realized that medicine was not for them.
If you could put happiness and work together, that's a very good thing. That's another aspect of it. That's an interesting company. You've got Prax, P-R-A-X.
Correct.
What is that? Is that an acronym?
It is short for the word praxis, which is Latin for to practice. So I mentioned one of the three distinctions, and the other two, the second of the three, is that we don't give rah-rah speeches. It's not a lot of anecdotes. It's scientific. It is research-based. And everything we do is attached to practice because nothing gets better unless you practice it.
Alex Jesbury, a recovering attorney, is the co-founder of Prax. Good to spend some time with you. Thank you very much.
You too. Thanks. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.